It's good to see everybody here. Thank you for being here for this time of worship. Seth and Lee, I want to thank you for the opportunity to have this passage and the elders of this congregation. I want to thank you for allowing me to teach tonight. And continuing with the theme of overlooked, given the sadness that has overcome our world since the time of Adam, and especially given the sadness that we've all felt in our hearts, given what has happened this past week, John 11:36 is especially meaningful to us. It's especially meaningful for us. That's because John 11:36 shows us something about Jesus. It shows us that Jesus understands us. It shows us that Jesus understands what it means. And equally as importantly, it shows us that he feels what it means to lose a loved one. Now, John 11:36 is often overlooked by the verse that precedes it. John 11:35, Jesus wept. But John 11:36 reads, "So the Jews said, 'See how much he loved him.'" And looking at the events surrounding John 11:36, let's quickly, very quickly, hit on something that I think is very important. Let us not make extremes concerning Jesus. Let us not take an extreme that says Jesus was more God than he was man. And let's not take an extreme that says Jesus was more man than he was God. And in my study of this passage, my conclusion was this. Sometimes I think, and keep what I'm saying in context, sometimes I think we can overthink Jesus. The fact is, Jesus was as much God as he was man, and vice versa. And from my study of John 11:36, I'm convinced that the Apostle John, the writer of John 11:36, uses Jesus and the death of his friend Lazarus to help the world see the plain fact that Jesus understands us. Let's look at the background of Jesus wept. John 11:36. Why did John even write his gospel? Well, John writes his gospel in defense of Jesus's nature, in defense of Jesus as a whole. John 20:30 through 31 reads, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." At this time that John writes this gospel, that John writes John 11:36, his audience is being bombarded by a lot of different philosophies concerning Jesus. Was Jesus God? Was Jesus man? Was Jesus more God than man? Etc. And John writes his gospel to defend who Jesus is. It's of particular interest to note that there were philosophies during this time that John wrote this gospel that sought to de-emphasize who Jesus was by attacking Jesus as being also man. These philosophies argue that Jesus could not possibly be God. Why not? Because God does not have feelings. God does not have emotions. So if Jesus showed emotions, he could not be God. These false philosophies about God and emotion set the stage for John. It sets the stage for John's use of Lazarus' death and Jesus' response to Lazarus' death as supporting evidence to John's main argument as to why people should believe in Jesus. And so there are some key words that we see in this verse. If we look at verse 36, we see this. So the Jews said, "See how much he loved," or phileo, "him." Now, we understand, especially given how close we are to Henderson and what our instructors have taught us, our English words sometimes cannot fit the words that are used in the context of biblical times. This word love here, phileo, is associated with affection. But all we see throughout this passage of John 11 is just our English word love. But this word right here in its lexical meaning means affection. It means a personal care for someone. And this English word love does not just occur in John 11:36, but it occurs at the very beginning of the passage itself. And if I haven't already stated, love is the primary word that I think is the focus here of John 11:36. Let's read John 11, verse 1. Let's go to the very beginning and let's see the progression of this word love up until the point of John 11, 36. John 11, 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, whom you love is ill. Whom you love, whom you phileo, is ill. But let's drop down to verse 5. After Jesus reads this or hears this, he makes a response in verse 4. But then in verse 5, it says this. Now Jesus loved agapao. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There's a change in the word love here. There's a change in the identity that John is trying to express to us. But what we're seeing in this change in the word love is this. We understand that agapao is that moral, God-given obligation to best care for somebody. And we know that phileo is that deep, passionate consideration for an individual. But when we look at the progression of this primary word love, we see that Jesus' agapao manifests itself in phileo, particularly in Jesus and his relationship with his friends. Jesus' agapao was observable in Jesus' relationship with Lazarus that even others, particularly his family, could see. They even acknowledged that Jesus phileo Lazarus. Everyone knew that Jesus had a moral, God-given obligation to care for what's best for Lazarus. Why? Because that's what he was teaching. That's what he taught. But that teaching extended itself in Jesus' life in a deep, affectionate, personal attachment to Lazarus. What is the indication here? The indication is that Jesus' agapao manifests itself in his phileo for the man that he called friend. And Jesus defends his loving relationship between him and Lazarus and Lazarus' family by giving a divine argument for why and how he plans to express this love. And we'll see that in a minute. But let's look at verse 4. Verse 4, we read, John. My apologies, I don't know what that was, a bug. John, I was almost like that YouTube video, that newscaster, and that bug flew in his face, and he got real ghetto real quick. But anyways, John 11, verse 4. John 11, verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, when he heard this message about his friend being ill, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. He is about to make a divine argument to show how much he agapao, this friend of his, how much he cared about him. Verse 6. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So is a conclusion indicator. An argument is being established. He has a premise here that he's following. Illness will not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. The Son of Man will be glorified. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, what was Jesus going to do? Jesus was going to stay 2 days in the place where he was. Jesus' plan to demonstrate his love by further validating who he was as man and also as God. He was going to validate that he is the resurrection. To do this, he allowed his friend, someone he phileoed, and someone everybody knew he cared about, to suffer, to die, and then to be raised to live again. The secondary word that I think is important to understanding John 11, 36 is the word friend. Jesus' love for Lazarus is found in another word, friend. He calls Lazarus his friend. In John 11, 11, this is what we read. Progressing from verse 6 forward, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. That is the context of verse 11. This is what we read. After these things, he, Jesus, said to them, his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him. Now, Jesus only calls those who love him his friend. This reveals the relationship that Lazarus had with Jesus. It revealed the kind of person that Lazarus was. Why? Because there is a truism, there is a principle that has been told by Jesus in John 15, 14, and it has always been concerning God and those whom he calls friends. You are my friends if you do what? If you keep my commandments. We can know that Lazarus was a friend who was cared about deeply by Jesus, but he was also a friend who followed Jesus, kept Jesus' commandments. That is how that relationship continued, or that is how that relationship was groomed. But there's something else that's important. When we look at the background of John 11, 36, and we see that John was writing to affirm and defend the nature of Jesus, and then we see that John the Apostle uses the word love and uses the word friendship in regards to who Jesus was and who Jesus is, we see that he goes on to express the temporal feelings that Jesus had. In John 11, 36, Jesus had, and when I say temporal, I mean something that is earthly, something that is constrained by time, something that is human. Jesus had these kind of feelings for his friends. He had these kind of feelings for his loved one, and he still does today. Jesus had feelings that ran alongside his reasoning. Jesus felt things at certain times, in certain places, and for certain reasons. Jesus had, just like all men have, he has these temporal feelings. Let's look at verse 33. Jesus is going down to see his friend. He's going to fulfill the agapao for the man whom he phileos and the family that he cares about. And we read this in verse 33. He is met by Martha on his way. He is met by Martha on his way. But then Mary comes to him. And this is how Jesus feels about the situation of encountering Martha, then encountering Mary, and then seeing everybody there who is weeping and crying over this situation. When Jesus saw her weeping, talking about Mary, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. How easy is this for us to understand concerning Jesus? This is important for us. Yes, it's true that when John wrote this gospel, he was trying to dismiss these false philosophies about God and God having feelings. Jesus is God, and yes, Jesus has feelings. Why? Because Jesus is fully man. But what does this mean to us? This means he understands us. And I'm sure everybody here understands these feelings. Given all this craziness that has happened in this last week, we all understand these feelings. When a faithful Christian who is close to you is experiencing death, and you know that they're going to a better place, and you know that in less than 100 years, less than 100 years, you will see them again, does it still hurt to watch them pass? Does it still hurt to watch them go through what they're going through? Does it still hurt to watch people weeping over the situation? Yes. Why? Because they're your friend. Because you care for them. You phileo them. You not only care what's best for them because God tells you to, but we also care because we have that relationship. We're going to miss that time with them. We're going to miss sharing this life with them, even though it's temporary. We're going to miss sharing this no good earthly life with our friend who has gone on to glory. And it hurts us. Why? Because we love them. They are our friends. Well, the same goes for Jesus, particularly in this situation. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Let's look at verse 21. Jesus is met by Martha. Jesus on his way to see Lazarus is met by Martha. And Martha said to him, when she sees him, when she gets to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I absolutely have confidence that if anybody could have handled this situation, it would have been you, Jesus. But you weren't here. And I sent the message, my brother died. After Jesus is dealing with these emotions, he has to calm down Martha. continues on his way, and then he's met by Mary and all those who came with her. And this is what it says in verse 32. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying what? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Could you imagine the way Jesus felt concerning the situation? He's seen all these people. He knows what he could have done had he been there at that time. But he allowed himself to wait. Being bombarded with these feelings, what is the conclusion of the matter? What does John the writer conclude concerning Jesus? Verse 35. Jesus wept. It's as simple as that. Jesus' heart was breaking over the matter. Jesus was not only God, you false philosophies, but yes, he was also man. John makes it very plain why Jesus' spirit became moved with emotion and why he grew very complex. Everyone's heart was breaking. It was hurting. Jesus' frustration was not depression. Let's not get that idea. He was not upset. He was not weeping because of depression. When we look at these words, it gives the indication of being frustrated and highly upset. Death, his enemy, not only took his friend's life, but was breaking everybody else's heart. And guess what? Jesus had yet to do what he came here to do. Jesus had, it is not yet my time to pull my knees up to my chest and crush the head of Satan and destroy death. It's not my time. But I'm here and I'm dealing with these people whom I love and who love me. And we're all crying over the death of a friend. And so when he weeps, what is the conclusion of the entire matter? Verse 36. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. See how he phileo him. Our conclusion is this. Going back to the Apostle John and why he wrote this, why he wrote John 11:36, why he wrote these things for his audience, going back to why the purpose of his writing, I am firmly convinced that John 11:36 is in our Bibles to prove that Jesus is not only fully God, but also fully man. And the Apostle John uses John 11:36 to reveal to us how much man Jesus was. Jesus was fully man in himself. He was fully man in his relationships. He was fully a man in his feelings about those relationships. He was fully a man in all these, all in relationship to God. And Jesus is still a man today. Now, there's many qualifications we can go on with this, but Jesus still is mediating on behalf of man today because of his nature as fully man and fully God. What is John 11:36 telling us? It is teaching us that Jesus intellectually and he emotionally cares about all of his friends, including everybody here. He cares about our lives. He cares about our relationships with him. He cares for us the way we care about our loved ones. And he cares for those who are hurting and who have lost loved ones because he understands. But in saying that Jesus cares about us and that he understands, it begs three questions, and we'll end with this. We'll end at this last point. It begs three questions. Knowing that Jesus cares for us, knowing that he cares for his friends and he understands, the question is this. Are we his friend? Have we been being his friend? Or have we been hurting him and causing him heartache? To be his friend, what must we be? Very simply, we must be a faithful member of the Church of Christ. That's what it takes to be his friend. If anybody here wants to learn more about being his friend, if we want to return to being his friend, or if you're already his friend but you need to be nearer to him because this world is crazy and sin is engulfing everything around us, if we need to be nearer to him, then please come down as together we stand and as we sing.